to Standing in the Sunlight with Cynthia Rose. We are all on an ever-unfolding unique journey. Join Cynthia Rose as she begins her unique perspective to all that is meaningful. Topics and personalities that support your path, bringing inspiration and passion and heart-centered ways to live a more fulfilling life. A down-to-earth and uplifting sharing of what it means to be spiritual, creative, and living life to the fullest by standing in the sunlight. Born an intuitive medium, Cynthia Rose is also an ordained minister, singer, astrologer, educator, and writer. She has studied the intuitive and healing arts for over 40 years. Rise up and stand in your sunlight now with Cynthia Rose.
Hello, everybody, wherever you are. I'm excited to be here on Valentine's Day. Today, I'm coming to you back home from Denver. No more Kauai this week. So I'm out here on a sunny day. I'm really excited today to bring this show to you. I have two guests for you today. Dawn Lay, who has been a healer for over 50 years and teacher, and has just a wonderful spiritual journey. I've learned from him, incredible. And his wife, Lynn Brisden, who also is an incredible healer and business coach. And today, we're going to talk about relationships from an energetic point of view. So before any ado, we have their information up on the site. We'll tell you how to get in touch with them after. But I just want to check in. Dawn, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, wonderful. And Lynn, are you here?
Hello, Cynthia. Yeah.
Hello. I'm so excited to have you two here talking about this. Just a little thing I wanted to share. When I was studying energy work in the way that you taught, Dawn, I went through that with a couple that were both studying energy work on their own at your school, and also talking about, they were sharing how much they were closer, their intimacy was better, and they already had a good relationship. And it was wonderful to watch that. So I'm just so excited to bring this to the listeners. And we're talking, just for clarification, not just about from the point of view of a psychological point of view, we're talking about energy in relationships today. So maybe we can start in and talk about what that means from the point of view of energy in relationships, the energetics. Do you want to go first, Lynn, Dawn? What does that mean?
Well, okay, I'll start off. What it really gets down to, I think, in some ways, is how does communication happen? And if you look at it on a spiritual level, it's like there's energy floating around all over the place, and we're projecting our thoughts, our feelings, our whatever, energetically around us all the time. And some people pick up on that very quickly, and other people not so quickly. But when you look at this communication as spirit, you're essentially looking at, and it's on a very, very simple level. There's nothing very complicated about this. It's like you're exchanging information on a certain level, and how much can you be attuned to the information that's being shared, as opposed to the words that are shared.
Ah.
I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like just taking it to another place. I remember when I spent 3 years traveling around the world one time, in a place where I didn't speak their language, they didn't speak my language. And I remember this up in the Himalayas in Nepal, and meeting this woman who was providing, you know, snacks along the way or something, and she was fixing up something for us. And just looking at her, and she looked at me, and we both started giggling. And it was like, it was such a clear hello, and we understood what each other was saying, and without even opening our mouths. And so, you know, to me, that's sort of the crux of the spiritual aspects of communication. We're wanting to put something out, we're wanting to communicate something, and our bodies are busy translating it all into some kind of language. How am I going to express this? How do I say it? What words are appropriate? Blah, 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 blah. And yet there's the exchange is already going on. So it's an art. And once we tune into that, then we start taking the communication essentially off the body level. And it's no longer, you know, in bodies we're dealing with, I'm talking with either a male or a female. But on that level, it just goes, it cuts beyond the gender stuff that we might have taken on during our lives, depending on our culture and, you know, how we've been raised, our parents and blah, blah, blah. And it's just getting it to a much, much clearer space.
Right. So you're saying also, it doesn't matter whether we're talking male, female, but this is relationships, period, regardless of your sexuality and gender.
Yes. It's taking the communication beyond the words that we've learned. And so at that point it goes beyond languages.
And we've all had those times where there's discomfort between two people and it has nothing to do with what's being said.
Exactly.
Do you have something you want to add to that, Lynn?
Yeah, as I've been hearing Dawn, I've just been reflecting back on times in prior relationships where, you know, I know that I was feeling something, maybe feeling some anger toward my partner, but, you know, being very, very careful with how I was communicating what I was saying, you know, saying the right words, and yet, you know, the man I was with definitely perceived that I was angry or upset, and you know, I thought, like, how does he know what I'm thinking? This is just too bizarre. And then as I learned more and more about how sensitive we are to one another's energetic fields, I began to realize that, you know, all of what I'm feeling is being perceived and picked up by the other person, whether they're even totally conscious of it, but they are going to be reacting to it and are impacted by it.
That makes a lot of sense. I think that we are so much more transparent than we realize we are. I think it's right out there, and then it's also brings to mind about maybe we've got to work on being conscious ourselves so we can be better communicators instead of always looking to the other for, first we have to look at what we're putting out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And this brings up the whole issue of what am I hiding from myself? You know, because I don't want to acknowledge this right now for whatever reason. You know, I don't want to be coming from an angry place, or I don't want to be, you know. And so I end up burying that within myself. And yet that other person, depending on where they're at, very well may be tuning right into that and sense that. And it leaves them in confusion because you're smiling when you don't really feel like smiling, or whatever the dynamic happens to be. And I think of it, you know, what starts to enter in here is how real are you? You know, how real are you willing to be in your communication? It's not just about expressing your emotions and stuff, but what is it in my experience that I've never been willing to talk about because I'll just get invalidated for it? For example, I have some sort of a psychic experience, and every time I've tried to put that out to anybody, I've got poo-pooed or, you know, eye rolls or whatever it is. And, you know, it's okay. It's okay to communicate whatever it is that I'm wanting to communicate. So I need to get over any pain I've got around having tried to communicate in the past and bring this into present time and being real, which doesn't mean you just blurt out everything to everybody. You can, but it's getting rid of the fear that's controlling how you're communicating. That makes a lot of sense.
I can remember being like 4 years old and seeing that my mom was upset about something and asking her, what are you upset about? And her saying, oh, I'm fine, because she didn't want to be upset.
Yeah.
Because kids see it so clearly, right?
Right.
So, but we're talking about relationships today, not kids. But yeah, I think that the judgment that we have on ourselves about what we're feeling, or like the cage we put ourselves in, it's important to let ourselves out of that cage.
Yes. Well put.
Yeah. And, you know, as I listened to what Don was just saying, you know, it's, you know, when he was talking about things that we've hidden from ourselves, you know, we can have undealt with emotional baggage that is kind of like laying dormant. And then if in conversation something gets provoked, we get triggered and, you know, we start, you know, dishing it out and reacting to the situation in a way that's not really congruent with what's going on. I mean, there's a real big indicator that there's something that we've been hiding from ourselves, or have just sort of stuffed down, and that gets in the way, you know. And that can be stuff that maybe it didn't even happen directly to us, but, you know, it was, you know, some of those old belief systems that we adopted as we were growing up, you know, just being influenced by the way our parents interacted with one another. You know, we start to form those ideas, concepts, and beliefs about what's acceptable, appropriate, or how I am supposed to react and respond to the person that of the opposite sex that I'm with. And so, you know, there's so much at play here. It gets quite complex. And so if we can continue to keep that awareness level on noticing ourselves and what's coming to the surface, and consciously choosing how we want to be, how we're processing the things that come up, then we're more able to have a clear, real communication with that person that we are intimate with.
A piece that comes up for me with that is how much am I really listening to somebody? You know, so often when we're relating to somebody or communicating, we've got all these sort of images floating around of how things should be and blah, blah, blah. And then you add to that the dynamic of, we've all been trained in one way or another through our families, through cultures, through whatever. And it's a little different all over the world. The bottom line that seems to be common through them all is you need to be right. And so I'm listening to somebody communicate to me, and I'm in the back of my mind somewhere, I'm revising what they're saying. I'm correcting them. I'm coming up with what my response, you know, my rebuttal is going to be, or whatever, instead of just simply being there listening to what somebody else is communicating. And then, you know, that's the place where you have the opportunity then to go beyond the words that they're using to me, and just getting the images of what they're trying to communicate.
Yeah. I'm thinking about, there's times when, and we've all gone through it, I'm sure, when I've not been hearing my partner clearly and said, wait, I need to hear myself first so that I can hear what they're saying. That if I'm not really listening to what's going on with myself, I can't really hear them.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most amazing things that we've got out there, particularly in a intimate relationship. You know, once it's really close, you get to know each other better and better, and you get to pick up these subtle little messages more and more, and because we know each other. And so, again, for me, it gets back to how real can I be without having to take whatever I'm feeling, without having to have that be the dominant factor in the communication. You know, I'm feeling some emotion, and that wants to take over everything that I'm communicating. And the, you know, like with her, she'll be sitting in front of me and we're communicating. And if something somehow gets triggered for me, then, I mean, it's in her presence, therefore it's probably her fault and she's wrong. And it's like, hold on just a minute. What came up for you came up for you. And are you willing to say hello to that? This particular time right now for me, after all these years, it's there's an opportunity here for people to take steps in their conscious awareness, everything. We're literally sitting in a time period that seems to me like we can just reshape ourselves totally.
I agree.
The commercial?
I'm hearing that we're going to go to a break. Please stay with us. We've got Dawn Lay and Lynn Brisson talking about energetics and relationships. And we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back. I wanted to follow along with, we were talking about the rightness of the conditioning we have. And also there's two aspects. There's the male in myself, the female in myself. I'm interested in, you know, one partner sometimes is withdrawing or and one is rambling on. I know I've never done that.
I've never known you to do that at all. No.
I've done that. Yeah, in all full disclosure, I've done that where I've been rambling on about something. And what is that where one and I can only speak for my relationships, but I know that my partner is sometimes quieter and I'm chatty. And what is that, you know?
Well, I'll be the one to speak about that because I'm the one who's withdrawing.
Okay.
Well, one of those pieces is wanting to keep the peace when someone's kind of on a track, not wanting to kind of compete for space, and also just being there to listen until whatever it is that they have to say is complete. And yet, you know, there may be opportunity to engage and bring them back into more of a conscious communication if they've started rambling because they're just rambling.
Right. I know I've been, for me, that I've noticed some of the chattiness is about, let's process this, let's bring you into, let's talk about this. I'm a process person. Let's resolve this. I want to make sure you're okay. That's probably the old fixer in me from, you know, an old patterning. But there is that. I've found I have to take a step back and just less words, but I can still feel myself wanting to, if there's something going to pull him in and say, how can I help? So what I hear you saying is we're both trying to help. One's just more chatty and one's quiet. And we're both trying to help. It's just different aspects.
Yeah. And then there's a piece of that too. They watch an operation often. I've seen this a billion times. If I've seen it once, it's where we'll use the chattiness to avoid. It's like making noise, so I don't face what I'm feeling. So there, you know, that can enter into the equation as well. And also there's the piece of it where it puts me in control. You know, they're needing to listen to me now, and I'm going to keep making more noise. And I need to have them come into my modality or where I'm coming from so that they can understand, you know, what's happening for me here or something, or so that I can make them understand essentially what's off with them. They need to come here and do it my way, that kind of thing, if I'm going to be effective in healing them. And which then brings up the whole issue of, which is talked about all over the place, all healing is self-healing, and I can't make anybody better. I mean, it's like, first of all, I don't think we need to get better. We just need to let go of whatever's getting in the way of our being ourselves. That computes. And, do you see where I'm pointing with this? Lynn, are you there?
Yeah, I
maybe I lost
do
it,
see then. Where you're pointing. And the other piece, and I was also just sort of thinking about, you know, in being quiet too, I may be not really quite sure about what it is I'm feeling and not quite sure about how I want to put it out. And I'll keep listening until I've kind of prepared what I want to say, which can also be a little bit controlling and contrived in its own way. And the other thing that comes to mind is that distinction and differences between how male bodies sort of naturally communicate and how female bodies are have a tendency to communicate, and where you know female bodies have that desire to process verbally, and in fact there's that oxytocin release that happens and de-stressing with the sharing, and will want to engage men in that process. But for guys, it's a very different process, as I understand. They're more apt to think in very linear terms and speak in short sentences, and not quite sure how to engage with that sharing. And so that's where we can find a kind of a disconnect sometimes. And so what we're offering is that if we sort of become aware of getting off of that male-female dichotomy and communicating from that place of being to being, yes, we're using words, and there's all this other energetic communication going on at the same time, and attuning to that level, and we're going to have that clearer, more potentially harmonious communication. Am I taking this in a different direction?
Well, it's going where it needs to go. It makes a lot of sense to me, because I find, you know, I feel like we have a good relationship, and I find that, yeah, listening to just the words is not where it's at. That's for sure. The energetics of what's being said, how it's being said, but I really have to stay centered in where I am as I'm listening. So I know there's someone out there right now listening who may have some kind of conflict going on right now, and they're not sure how to step forward. Maybe we could just take it from that place. You've got somebody who, and of course this is generic because you don't have that specific energy speaking with you, but you have somebody who is with someone that they love, but their communication is just, something's not quite right. Where would we start them off with? Maybe one's more chatty, one's more quiet. You know, where would we go from there?
Well, again, there's a number of different faces of this that come up for me. And one is, and Lynn started pointing at it a minute ago about the difference between the way males and females tend to communicate. And there's when you're communicating spiritually, when you tune in on that level, and the way that I've learned to relate to this, and I've heard a lot of other people the same way, there's an elegance to the simplicity of what's being communicated. You know, it might come in a single word, but that word communicates a whole level of stuff that if you really let yourself receive it, it can transform things for you. All of a sudden you're seeing things differently. And the way, again, the way that we've been trained in our human conditioning is to, for some reason, to make things more complicated than they really are. And that can, again, tie into that chattiness. It's like, can you bring this, it's, you know, this is a two-way thing. So how much are people going to let themselves play with a different way of communicating? If it's not been working, then you might want to entertain that it needs to change somehow on your side of it. And ultimately, when it comes down to the male-female communication, all the things come into play again, right, wrong, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, wait a minute. This is not the only level that's going on. That relates to racial relationships. It relates to nationalities. It wherever you want to put it, it relates to battles between the sciences, right or wrong. And if we break out of that modality, then we can start to relate to people from a different place. I don't know how else to put that. We're coming from another place. And then if the two people are in agreement about that, meeting someplace else, well, you know, a whole lot of the complication goes out of the equation. And it's like that, again, the elegance of the simplicity to me is such a key.
And in that simplicity, I think it's coming, giving ourselves the space to kind of come back to the basics of, checking in with myself posing that hypothetical scenario. If each party says, okay, so what is it that I'm experiencing? What is it that I'm feeling? And if I kind of pull back from whatever it is that I'm judging about the other or, projecting on the other person, and just really pull it back to what am I experiencing right now? And is what I'm feeling, thinking, or believing, is that truly what I want to continue on with? Is that a choice that I'm making with conscious awareness? Or am I acting on some belief that I've adopted somewhere in my past? Or am I acting on what I'm predicting is going to happen in the future, but actually hasn't happened yet? I mean, there's a whole series of internal dynamics that might be clouding my perception of what's really going on. So if I can do a kind of check-in with myself and say, how am I with this really? And start from that place. And if both people are committed to having the awareness to doing so, and then willing to have that authentic communication back and forth about what they're each experiencing, and then exploring, maybe what they're perceiving about the situation with clarity. And, one of the words that we've used is neutrality. And, even if I'm triggered, even if I'm feeling really anxious or angry, I can say, whoa, look at that. Look at how my body, or look at how my mind is acting in this way, and yet there's a part of myself that can observe this and even speak to that in communion with the other person. And I think if we can come back to those kind of real core principles, we're gonna have a whole lot easier time. And it's like adopting a whole new practice. And I know for myself, I go off and I work in the real world and come home, and I find that I kind of carry in with me. And Don will let me know sometimes if I've, you know, carried a lot of stuff into our space from my day, that will start to influence how I'm responding to him. And so it's just needing to, you know, take that step back and, you know, how am I being in this? And is this the way I want to be? And that's what I would invite people to play with.
And to me, that's where the gold is. I mean, I think that's what we really all want, is that deeper sense of communication, whether we call it by another name, to truly be seen by another. We use words on this realm, but the words, like as we're saying, it's so much past words. To be seen by another, we've got to go past those words and move into something we didn't learn in elementary school, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there wasn't a manual we got for this. We didn't learn this. I know we're going to get queued up for a break soon, but I want to make sure that we touch on, we might not have time now, but that we touch on coming back to talking about neutrality, because I know there's someone out there saying, huh, what's that? So
yeah,
that's something we'll have to remember to go back to. But I hear you there, it always seems to come back to judgment and how we listen and how present we are, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, it's either we're in judgment we're either in judgment of ourselves or we're in judgment of the other person or the situation.
And the only person that I can be responsible for in any communication is this person sitting right here, me. You know, and so
good point.
If there's communication problems, issues in a relationship, you know, maybe it means reconsidering the relationship. If I'm going somewhere else, they don't want to join me, then maybe that's something I need to consider. I don't know.
Okay,
anyway,
we'll be back after a 2-minute break here, and we will have Don Lay and Lynn Brisbane joining us.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to the practical, intuitive, mind, body, spirit for the real world. With me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org, brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
I can hear you too. Okay, we're back. Okay, so
that was a break.
Okay, we left off and we were talking about neutrality, and I know that there's some listeners out there that understand that and others that are wondering what the heck is neutrality and where do I get some, or do they want it? I don't know, but So do one of you want to talk about neutrality? I know I'm being funny. Okay. That's me being funny.
Yeah. So neutrality. Do you want to jump in, Dawn?
Go ahead.
Well, let's you both do it.
Okay.
Not at the same time.
We'll still talk at the same time. for me, the you know, I'm taught, you know, again, it gets back to culturally and the family and my education, everything teaches me how to see things. And so if I'm seeing something through that filter of right, wrong, i.e., does it agree with my viewpoint or not? If it doesn't, then it's wrong. And it's like, if I can let go of that need to be, if I let go of the training that I've gotten, how I've learned to be, I might find a new way of being. And I, you know, to me, that really relates to neutrality, because all of a sudden I'm hearing this stuff like Lynn was just talking about a minute ago, outside of that space of judging it. And it's I don't know, this is an interesting one to try to describe, but it's essentially what I end up dealing with, and I think this applies to every aspect of spiritual growth that there is. It's like I need to look at what I learned and I've embedded deeply into the cells of my body, and therefore I'm coming from that place all the time because I've accepted it as the truth. I need to pull those kinds of beliefs up and essentially challenge perhaps every belief I have. If I'm going to go someplace that I've not been before, I need to be willing to be someplace that I've never been before. I mean, how simple is that? And it's like, and so I don't know how to act or respond or anything else because I've never been there before. It's a new learning experience. So if I start letting go of all the different ways in which I've been trained to see people, and particularly when you get that cross-pollination between male and female going, it's like whether I like it or not, I've been presented all my life with ways of seeing female and ways of seeing male. And that got anchored through my development years with my family and then by society. And when I can start to realize that and get out of that right-wrong space, then all of a sudden I can be one whole lot more neutral. At least it gives me the opportunity to be more neutral.
Yeah, and we're not. It's the idea of male and female. I mean, people do. They grow with this idea of this is male, this is female, and yet we're both, I mean, I'm in a female body, but we're both male and female to different degrees on different spectrums or different aspects of our lives. And yet we come into life and may adopt a certain outlook until we look at that and decide what fits for us. And I don't think we end up in a place where we say, okay, I don't need to look at anything anymore. I think it's ever unfolding if we're growing spiritually, right?
Yeah,
that's
certainly the way I see it. Yeah,
You know, the Buddhists have that. May I? The Buddhists have that statement of beginner's mind, as always looking at something fresh and new. Or, you know, having that childlike wonder. And I think when we can tune into that, we have a higher likelihood of being neutral and able to recognize if we're, you know, just painting like, oh, all men are just like this or all women are like that. You know, if we hear ourselves making those kinds of statements, we know we're not being neutral. And if we can, you know, step back into that being more curious and open-minded about what we're seeing, then we're going to have a higher likelihood of attaining that. And there's some really beautiful practices that, you know, we learned, you know, very early on in our spiritual classes, which was being able to access the part of our mind that helps us to be more neutral and see things from, you know, 360 degrees of perspectives. And that's just that coming into the, we called it the center of the head, which is, you know, now we're learning from neuroscientists about, you know, if we can be more focused in coming from our prefrontal cortex, or the, you know, the executive thinking part of the brain, we have a higher likelihood of having that more open-minded or neutral awareness from which to see a higher level, a greater variety of possibilities and perspectives.
Yeah, and I know one of the beautiful things about both of you in having worked with you is that you see past all of that to the person, to the being, and you do speak past all that, and I can't put it into words, I really can't. This ability to recognize when some of that is going on, but without telling a person of here, you know, it's just, I don't, you can't even put it into words, but you both have a beautiful way of doing that. I'm not finding the words.
Well, and part of that to me is getting out of the space. We've all been trained to, I said that before, but it's like what we've learned in our life. And it's like we didn't learn, at least I didn't when I was growing up, that this person that's standing in front of me is, first of all, a spiritual entity that's manifesting through a physical body. You know, I didn't get that kind of training, or I didn't get any validation for that. And as a child, if I ever tried to address that, and I did, oddly enough, you know, I'd get eye rolling. You know, nobody could understand what I was talking about. And so there's this place of, well, let me flip over here for just a minute. Another issue that comes up through all this around neutrality is when I start to learn and really sense and tune into, not just intellectually accepting it, but experiencing it, that I am spirit first, to use those words. I am not my sensing my body, but the body's not the dominant thing. I existed before this body, and I'll exist after this body. And so when I start shifting my perspective to that level and quit relating to everybody as either being a male or female, because they're not. They're simply a spiritual entity, looking at it that way. And I get slammed for that sort of comment, but do we exist beyond these bodies or not? When I had my near-death experience that I went through, it was, that just was so highlighted, and it was so real. It made what I'd been teaching for so long just, it just anchored it. And it's like, whoa, here I am. My body's not doing real well, but here I am. And so what gets going here, there's another piece of this too that I'd like to highlight a little bit, is we've got the male, female. You started to address this earlier, I think, Cynthia, and it's like, I contain, my body is capable, it has male and female energy available to it. And it's like not gender-wise, but it's that yin-yang. And it's like if I'm real anchored into a concept of what male is like, and I don't like male, I don't like these aspects of male, then I'm cutting myself off. I paste that over the top of my male energy, and I cut it off. And I've cut off access to half of my creative ability, okay? Because the creation is the joining of the yin-yang, the pulling together of the plus-minus, you know, however you want to look at it. It's make, in order to create something, you need to pull together all aspects of it, so to speak. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's a piece that's there.
Yeah, some good
and again,
points.
All of that, yeah, all of that starts to add to that ability to be neutral in some strange way. If I really start letting that in, I'm not talking about just accepting it intellectually as a thought. I'm talking about letting myself experience that. And if I've never experienced that, well, we're right back to the same thing. I'm going into unknown territory, and am I willing to go there? Because it's all an exploration as far as I'm concerned. I'm exploring being in a body. I'm exploring communication and how real are these other levels to me.
Well said. You want to add something to that, Lynn? What comes up?
Well, yeah, the exploration certainly keeps us in that place of continual growth and more apt to, you know, be coming from that neutral place. And then I want to just, you know, build a little bit on what Dawn was talking about there too, is, you know, how it's the male and the female coming together that is what is creating not only new life, but, you know, the things that we want to create and bring life to. And that a clear space of agreement between the male and female energies and with one another, there's such incredible potency of what we can bring into being with that level of awareness and with that that kind of agreement. And that's a space that I think is really kind of fun to play with, and we could all do more of.
And so all of what we've been talking about today, though, even though we're talking about in relationships, we're not just talking about a love relationship, although that's a primary and it's on the minds of many people today. This, all of what we're saying, can be applied in our work life, our close friendships, our relationships with ourselves. I just wanted to point that out, that all of these principles apply to relating energetically, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And yeah. So if somebody, you know, doesn't know where to start and they just know that things aren't working, then maybe like what you were saying, communicating the same way, doing the same thing is going to get the same results. Maybe look at where they're coming from. This doesn't work. Maybe they need to take on something new. And, you know, we look at how our house functions. We look at our car and say, oh, you know, we need a new spark plug. But sometimes we need to look at our lives and how we're relating and say, we need something new there. And we make it complicated, yep. I think. It's simple, but we make it complicated because we're a human being, right?
Yeah,
What people are most apt to think first is, oh, well, if the situation around me would change, or if that person would change, or if those people there would start doing something differently. And yet it's really putting the focus back on ourselves. And what is it that I can change within myself? How can I see something differently? You know, and I think back to, you know, applying the principles that we've been talking about today in all of my relationships has helped me a great deal in the workplace, and then, you know, in working with the clients that I coach, and, you know, it's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. I don't want to forget now, if people are interested in working with you, Dawn, your website is Dawn Lay Today, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah, .com.
DawnLayToday.com.
And I'll caution that that's just barely starting to get put up. So
right, you've been old school for a long time. And Lynn is livingenvision.com. You can find us. We're
that's
all
right.
on Facebook. And if you have trouble getting hold of them, you can get a hold of me. I'm on Facebook at Cynthia Rose Medium. I'm on all the social medias. Thank you so much for joining us. We have to have you guys back. That was wonderful.
Great, great fun. Thanks, and I think we're just scratching the surface here.
We're just scratching the surface. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. We'll see everyone next week. Thanks. Looking forward to it.
Bye-bye.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Bye. Okay.